You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Violence comes as we learn new details about the death of 18-year-old Michael Brown.
An autopsy requested by the family revealed Brown was shot 6 times and that all of the bullets hit the front of his body.
Welcome to the Commute with Carlson. Lars Larson standing in for John for the next few days. You know, I just got back from vacation, and I'm so anxious to talk about what has been happening, not just overnight in Ferguson, Missouri, but what's been happening there since the death of Michael Brown. Michael Brown, not the teenager Michael Brown, the adult citizen Michael Brown, who was shot to death by a police officer, and I think for very good reason. Now, of course, I'm not withholding judgment because the mobs in Ferguson are not withholding judgment. And you can't put all the blame on Ferguson either, because a lot of race baiters and the black bigots who purport to lead black America, the likes of Al Sharpton, who flood into communities like that, the likes of Jesse Jackson, who climbed on the radio with the British Broadcasting Corporation overnight and gave a ridiculous interview. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the brand new autopsy. I was sitting there doing some preparation for today's broadcast because I just came back over the weekend from a vacation, a little road trip with my wife. We love seeing America from the ground, not from the air. So we did about 4,200 miles in the last couple of weeks. We have tried as much as we can, just on a personal note, to get out to parts of America that folks ordinarily just fly over. And we love seeing America. We saw a lot of national parks. We saw a lot of museums. And we saw a lot of just roadside. I mean, just the beauty of America. And if you are ever tempted to just go out there and get in your car and go somewhere, this is a beautiful country to live in. But I'll get to some of that later on. We need to talk about the real criminal activity that's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. And it's not criminal activity by the cops. By all accounts, the officer who shot this man to death did so for good legal reason. Now, did the crowds withhold their judgment? No, they did not. There were people in Ferguson, Missouri, who were immediately calling for this police officer to be arrested and charged with murder. In fact, in a while, I'm going to play some audio for you of a Black Panther group which went to Ferguson to do the race baiting that the Black Panthers and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Attorney General Eric Holder, and by extension, his boss, President Barack Obama, seem to do best. They go out and they try to enrage these situations. They did it with Trayvon Martin. They did it with that, remember the man that the president initially described as a stupid cop who stood on the porch of one of the president's friends in Cambridge, Massachusetts? Yeah, remember that? That's the kind of race baiting that is done by the president, by his attorney general, and is now being done by folks like Sharpton and Jackson and the Black Panthers. They were literally leading a crowd in Ferguson, Missouri, in a chant demanding the death of the officer, Darren Wilson, who has been identified as the officer involved in the shooting. And there's a brand new autopsy out. And it came out last night, and I'll get to the details of that in just a moment. But this autopsy, reported first by the New York Times, I was sitting there doing prep last night, and up pops this brand new story from the New York Times. Dr. Michael Bodden, who is a very famous forensic pathologist, he's done 20,000 autopsies in his career. He did an autopsy at the request of the Michael Brown family. And what he found is that most of what you've been hearing, the blather that you've been hearing from these race-baiting mobs in Ferguson, who have not been engaging in ordinary free speech, but I think engaging in incitement to riot. They are trying to encourage people to take the life of the officer who was involved in this shooting. And we'll talk about what happened there, too, and my take on it. But I want to get your take as well. It's always a pleasure to be standing in for John Carlson. Great pleasure to be with you on KVI. But I'm with you every night from 6 till 9 o'clock with my national radio show. But I'm also glad to talk about local issues in the Pacific Northwest because I am a Washingtonian, like many of you. I live in Vancouver, Washington, and I'll be glad to take your calls at 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757, local number 206-421-5757. I know a lot of people who get on the radio love to monologue. I would rather make it a dialogue. And if you disagree, I've told Phil Vandervoort and Brittany Marks that I would love to have naysayers go to the head of the line. I'd love to be able to have the people who think that the folks in Ferguson are doing the right thing, that they're only engaging in peaceful free speech. Yeah, that's why the state cops had to use tear gas to clear the streets of Ferguson, Missouri last night ahead of a curfew that was appropriately put in place. And now, as you wake up this morning, the governor of Missouri has ordered up the National Guard to try to bring peace to the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. And you understand that the reason that this is such a big story and the reason I'm talking about it this morning on KVI in Seattle is that this kind of thing can and does happen from time to time in most American communities. By this kind of thing, I mean police occasionally have to shoot somebody to death. And very, very occasionally, the police are wrong. But usually, the police are right. When the police shoot somebody, that person usually needs shooting. And I know that people say, well, that's politically incorrect to say. Doesn't bother me one little bit. I'll bet a lot of you are also waking up to that story over the weekend of the fatal stabbing at a fast food location in the Seattle metro area. And you're wondering to yourself, why is it that people like Lars Larson and others in Washington State choose to license themselves and carry a pistol for exactly this kind of reason? Why is it that the police occasionally have to shoot somebody like Michael Brown? And I'll tell you something that got under my skin. When we're on vacation, Tina and I, as I said, love to do road trips. We love to go to museums and we love to go out to dinner. We went camping for most of this trip. We took our little van and we went along and we just camped out. We spent a couple of nights in hotels and the rest of it, we were just camping out. But we listened to a lot of radio. And I was listening to this story and it got under my skin. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not about skin color. But the mainstream media wants it to be about skin color. You're going to hear that people in Ferguson, Missouri, 2/3 of the population of that town are black. And only 3 of the 53 officers in the police department in that town are black. Now, the underlying assumption is that black people cannot be policed by white officers. So if you're going to say it, news media, just say it straight out loud. Black people cannot be policed by white people. Does that mean by extension that white people cannot be policed by a black officer? Now, I don't get pulled over. I think I've had 2 speeding tickets in my whole life. And frankly, I don't even remember what race the officers were. It doesn't matter to me what race they are. But are we really suggesting that people of color cannot be policed by officers of any color, by officers of any gender? Because to me, that is no less bigoted than a Klansman who says, I won't sit at a lunch counter if a black man sat on that stool before me. That's just as bigoted to suggest that black people or white people or people from Asia or people who are Native Americans cannot be policed by folks of any color, white, black, or otherwise, men, women, or otherwise, tall, short, fat, or thin. What the heck difference does it make? And yet the underlying assumption is if Ferguson's police department is mostly white, that means they must be bigots. And that Darren Wilson must be the bad guy. I'll tell you what, I cannot resist it. Let me play for you a piece of audio. This is from the Black Panthers leading a protest in Ferguson, Missouri over the weekend. Now remember, this is a town that has seen the shooting of Michael Brown, an adult man. He is 18 years of age, and yet he is described by the media as a teenager. Now, I know technically, since he's 18, he is a teenager. 19-year-olds are teenagers. But the media calls him a teenager because teenager conjures up a picture of some kid you'd expect to see in middle school or in high school. This is not that person. This is a full-grown man. He stood until he charged that cop and got himself shot to death. He stood 6'4" tall. And the autopsy done yesterday by Dr. Michael Bodden showed that he weighed in at 292 pounds. Now, I want you to ask yourself, Do you have some friends or family or coworkers who stand 6 feet 4 inches tall and 292 pounds? Is the primary descriptive identification of a man like that teenager? Because all that's attempting to do is say to you, this was just a kid. He was no kid. They have him on videotape robbing a liquor store 7 minutes before his encounter with the police officer where he, Michael Brown, brought about his own death. And I'll tell you how I think it went down. Michael Brown caught on videotape all 6 feet, 4 inch, 292 pounds of him wearing a red baseball cap is caught on videotape doing what's called a strong-armed robbery. Another of the terms that you're hearing bandied about by the mainstream media, and you hear it in virtually every newscast that you're going to hear today, is that he was unarmed. Do you know why he was unarmed? Because you can rob a liquor store if you're 6 feet four and 292 pounds by doing exactly what Michael Brown did. You walk in, you grab what you want. In this case, he doesn't have much taste or didn't have much taste. It sounds like he grabbed a stack of Swisher Sweets cigars. These are cheap cigars sold mostly at gas stations and liquor stores. He barged into that liquor store, stole those cigars, and when the clerk tried to stop him, he took the clerk and shoved him up against one of the racks in the stores. He manhandled that guy, and then he walked right out the door. And 7 minutes later, he and one of his buddies, who's now one of the witnesses in this case, were walking down the middle of a street. And the police officer, now identified as Darren Wilson, rolled up on them in the car and said, hey, guys, get back on the sidewalk. And when they did not, the officer backed his car up, attempted to get out when Michael Brown slammed the door back on the officer. The officer then reached out to grab Michael Brown because assaulting a police officer is a crime in every city in America. And Michael Brown began to wrestle with the officer and apparently grabbed for his gun. One shot was fired within the car. We know that because the police have reported that. And then here's what I believe happened. Michael Brown then began to leave, perhaps even running in the other direction. He was 20 or 30 feet away when the officer regained his feet and shouted, freeze. Michael Brown then, according to some of the accounts that you're not hearing about on the mainstream media, then turned and began to rush toward the officer. Now imagine this. You've got a man, also a teenager, rushing at you. He is 6 feet 4 inches tall, he is 292 pounds, and he has just assaulted you, a police officer, which is a crime in America. Now I know some of you are saying to yourselves, well, but that doesn't justify shooting him. If somebody is rushing at you who has just assaulted you, I think you, as a citizen or a police officer, have every right to say, I believe that man is about to attack me. At that point, the officer, I believe, began to fire his weapon. And Michael Brown was struck a total of 6 times, according to Dr. Michael Bodden's autopsy, an autopsy done at the request of Michael Brown's family. And he was shooting, as police officers are taught to shoot, center of mass, which means from the upper abdomen to the top of your shoulders, that's where you're supposed to shoot a person. Do you know where those 6 shots hit? Mostly center of mass, also a couple in his arm and his hand, and two to the head. Those last two were probably the final shots fired because the autopsy showed that either one of those was likely to have ended Michael Brown's life immediately, and the man died right there. I think what the police officer did is right. And after the break, I'm going to play for you this piece of audio of the Black Panthers getting a crowd in Ferguson, Missouri to shout for the death of Officer Darren Wilson. I'm glad to have you join me. I'm glad to have you disagree with me. I'm Lars Larson, standing in for John Carlson on The Commute with Carlson, 888-312-5757. 206-421-5757. Email talk@LarsLarson.com on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
As the investigation continues, protesters say they will be out on these streets every day.
I know that this is going to at least last until an arrest is made. That's the primary reason why we're out here protesting.
What's his name?
Darren Wilson!
What's his name?
Darren Wilson!
That's the ever-so-friendly Black Panther Party in Ferguson, Missouri, leading a chant of, who do we want? Darren Wilson. Darren Wilson is the police officer involved in the Michael Brown shooting. And they say, how do we want him? Dead. The Black Panthers, engaging in legal free speech in America, advocating the murder of an American police officer. They want him dead. And this is the kind of nonsense that is aided and abetted by the likes of Attorney General Eric Holder and Barack Obama, President of the United States, and it's outrageous. My name's Lars Larson, standing in for John Carlson as he climbs a mountain for charity. I'll be here today, tomorrow, and on Wednesday, and then John will be back on Thursday. Let's go to Ken in South Whidbey Island, talking about the Initiative 594. We're all going to be voting on in Washington State. Hey, Ken, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question, Lars. What
Sure.
gives the big guns, no pun intended, Microsoft, Bill Gates, the Melinda Gates Foundation, Steve Ballmer, what gives them the I guess they have the right, but why do they throw their money onto this initiative and thinking that because they put their money out there, that's going to stop crime? I can bet you that if you try to walk onto Microsoft campus, you're going to be surrounded by some pretty well secure area there, and you're going to, these cops or whoever they have hired private people, they're armed.
That's right.
You know,
let me answer your question this way. First, I believe that free speech is allowed in America and that money is free speech. There's a Citizens United decision at the Supreme Court level that says that's true. The Oregon Supreme Court decided years ago that money is free speech. And for anybody who denies it, try standing on a street corner and trying to convince any large number of people of anything by just shouting at the top of your lungs. It doesn't work. You need to buy media, whether it's social media, radio, preferably, television, waste of money, newspapers. Do they still print those? But the fact is that free speech is money. Now, do they believe that by spending that money, they'll make society safer? I honestly believe that the likes of Bill Gates, as smart as he is on computers, he's a dummy when it comes to public safety. And he's a dummy because for the biggest part of his life, he has lived under the protection of men with guns, but he doesn't mind denying that to you and to me as Washington State residents. And to that, I say, Bill Gates, go to hell.
Now, here's the thing. Not too far from the campus, in the early hours of yesterday, a man was stabbed to death at a Burger King.
That's right.
He was stabbed to death.
Yeah.
Okay. So now what are we going to do? Have a whole big bunch of money come flying toward knife control? I mean, who is this guy, Bill Gates, just because he can't even get a decent
haircut? He's an elitist. He's an elitist who lives inside a bubble. You're never gonna sit next to him on a Boeing airplane because he has his own private plane. You're never gonna really get close to him because, I mean, I used to work for a company that was owned by Paul Allen. And on most things, I got nothing bad to say about Paul Allen. You'll notice that to the largest extent, Paul Allen stays out of these things. But Paul Allen is always protected by men with guns. Now, he has that privilege because he has the money and it's legal in America. I would like to see I'd love to interview Bill Gates and say, Mr. Gates, why is it you want to deny to people the same ability that you have because of money? You want to deny them the ability to own a gun or to be able to transfer a gun. Initiative 594 says you're going to make people safer by demanding what they call universal background checks. It isn't going to make a darn bit of business. Ken, I appreciate the call. I'll tell you what, I appreciate the call and thank you very much for it. But this is what I'm going to do. I am going to vote to keep my gun rights. I am going to vote in favor of gun rights and against gun control. And gun control is only about control. It's really not about guns. There's nobody on the pro-gun control side who can show a single crime that has ever been solved by gun control. That's the truth. And if you don't believe it, I'll be glad to send you all the source citations. And the Department of Justice says that 2 million times a year, average Americans protect themselves with a pistol or a rifle. It is every American's right to do it legally and lawfully. I'm Lars Larson, standing in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI.